Let's take the GMO question as an example. Genetic modification of seeds is widely used in the United States, but remains controversial. Some European and African countries have banned the use of GM seeds. Many people question their safety and environmental impact. So when the 2013 World Food Prize, an award for innovation in food production, recently went to three pioneers of the technology, one of the most ardent opponents of it came to Des Moines to join a World Food Prize symposium on the question.
Why accept the invitation from the World Food Prize to participate in this?
Well, I thought it would be a whole lot easier not to, and so I felt that I should.
That's Frances Moore LePay of the Small Planet Institute. She's been writing about and working on food, hunger, and environmental issues for more than four decades. She says many scientific studies raise questions about GMOs. She cites some in her fact sheet called Seven Really Good Reasons to Rethink GMOs.
We have a link to all of the sources that we use, and we have excerpts from the studies so that people can see how we interpret them because it's a two-page fact sheet. So I know that there are very serious scientists who've done experiments that raise questions for them about safety.
But another activist, Mark Linus, disagrees, though he once radically opposed modified crops.
I've destroyed GM maize, canola, sugar beet, maybe one or two others. It was dark, so you can't always tell.
Nearly 20 years ago, Linus participated in direct action campaigns against GMOs. But earlier this year, he announced he'd changed his mind. Now, he says he accepts what he sees as a scientific consensus that GMOs in food are safe.
All of these are questions which are very directly addressed many times over, independently and through funds and through studies which are conducted by the industry and then assessed by the regulators. And, you know, there's only so many times you can ask the same question and get the same answer.
Consumers think that science is definitive. But I think the important thing to remember is that science is a process.
University of Wisconsin-Madison consumer science professor Lydia Zepeda says studies may use different designs or types of analyses or even start with different questions. And that means they can legitimately arrive at conflicting results. Zepeda says that places a burden on consumers.
How can consumers be expected to know more than scientists? I think the bottom line is they can't.
With both sides claiming the support of scientific studies, where does that leave the rest of us? Zepeda's tip to consumers is follow the money. Greater transparency could help everyone. More openness about who funds scientific research and about who pays for activist campaigns. But Zepeda has another suggestion, too.
People may have gotten into their positions, but you know, they still might want to listen to each other.
Because if you listen, you can hear where even these two adversaries have much in common when they stop disputing each other's scientific claims. Here's Moore LePay again.
The beauty of agroecology, that approach of applying ecological science, it's not anti-science, it's applying science to farming, is that it empowers farmers through building their knowledge.
I am all for diversity, right? I'm all for agroecology, I'm all for organic farming. But at the same time, if some farmers want to use BT crops which are resistant to pests and reduce their use of pesticides that way, then they should have the option to do that.
That was Linus addressing the World Food Prize Symposium. On GMOs and on other food issues, the activists will continue their campaigns. For consumers, trying to understand the science may not be necessary or helpful. Figuring out who's paying for it might help some people. But Zepeda says her science shows that the biggest influence on our purchases is habit. In Des Moines, I'm Amy Mayer, Iowa Public Radio News.